Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 18th day of April 2021. We're going to be looking at my life, or what we call my life. And that's just an interesting phrase, my life. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, just sat and meditated on it. What is my life? What does my life basically consist of? What are we talking about here? What is life itself? Is it a living thing? According to the dictionary, it's living things, it's activity, it's some sort of particular type of aspect of a person's experience. Everybody has a different way of talking about life. And then to add to this life thing, we have this thing called our living. And what is our living? Is it the same as our life? Is life the objective, the goal? Is our living what we do to get to that objective, that goal? Are they the same? What is living? And how do we live? And if we've ever really looked at it, what is the state of our livingness as compared to maybe the state of our life? Is everything, and as we think and believe and ascertain in our minds, the same? Are we talking about a synonym, an adjective, a noun? What are we talking about here? So we're going to be looking at some of this. I really don't think that people are equipped mentally or emotionally for life. I think that they are trained and emotionally accosted, in my opinion, to believe that what they live, their livingness, is their life. And some people look at life as a matter of philosophy, and other people look at it as a matter of religion. Some people look at it as a matter of politics. There's all sorts of ways of looking at it. Definitively, these things define our karma, our life expectancy, our health, our range of, shall we say, finances, who we meet, who we don't meet, who's important, who's not important to us. We have all sorts of aspects of our life that we attribute to our living, and our living to our life, that we never really understood what the heck we were doing here on Earth. And most people don't understand. They simply don't get it. So I want to talk a little bit here about life, living. I get questions from people from time to time, and these are an accumulation of questions that people have sent me in the last 4 or 5 months about their life and about their living. And it has a lot to do with the introspection a person might have for whatever the virus has caused us or done to us. I think there are some people who have become a little introspective, and they're sitting around thinking about their living, their life, and how they correlate in the whole thing. So let's take a look at some of the questions. First one, this one comes from North Dakota. That's why I was looking. I want to make sure my glasses were on. Sandy from North Dakota, and she writes, "When I was young, my life seemed so long, like it would never end. But of late, my life seems so short, and now I don't know what my life is. Do I have enough time to do what I want?" ? And then that's the end of the email. You know, Sandy, it's sad to me that you're only thinking about, do you have enough time to do what you want? I'm going to be very blunt. What you want may not be what is important. It may not support your life. It may not be something that reveals your life, would be a better way of saying it. Just because we have a livingness, just because we have the livingness to, travel and eat and be entertained and all of that, doesn't mean that we're living our life. We're finding our life. Our living should reveal our life. And our life should dictate, actually, the state of our living. But they don't. Because we are very busy in this world living to get what we want. And that's what most people are about. Simply getting what they want. And how do you know if what you want has anything to do with the meaning, the substance, the gravitas of your life? What is life? Most people are content to die not knowing their life. And that is a very disturbing thing. Many people are content not only dying in that way, but they are also content with the idea and the ideal that there is no meaning to life. And it's just what you conjure up through your living. And if you live well, you will understand what life is all about. And that's the way most of us go about our life experience here on Earth. We miss everything that is substantial and important. I know a lot of people. I have served for over 50 years now doing the work I do and talking to people, and they have not a clue about life at all. The life is inconceivable to their human mind. If I thought about my life, if I thought about the life that exists within us all, I don't think in terms of my living. I don't look at my living and think, well, that was my life. That's not true. That was the state of my mind. That was the state of my emotions. And all of that was geared when I was younger from my human body. My body was my life. And my living was to entertain that body, to compromise it with gratifications, to maybe get what it wanted and needed, to accumulate an ego, a vanity, a pride. And maybe that was all it was ever about. And if you really look at it, what was your life centered around? Really, Sandy, it was the body. We want our body to be happy. We want our body to be gratified. We want it to feel well so we can have more emotional experiences that titillate and tantalate and do all the stuff that makes us feel like we're important or that we're good or that we did the right thing, whatever. We don't know what our life was. We just assume that everything that we experience in this world is life. And it's not. What you and I are experiencing is the state of our mind, the state of our body, the state of our emotions. And we assume that all of this is life. And people are perfectly content just to live this way forever, for their entire time here on Earth. It's perfectly fine. Emotional, body. And that is all it's really about. How do I get that feeling to make me feel like I belong, or I'm important, or I'm good, or I'm better than, or whatever? What is it that I'm doing? What is it that's important? And we will manipulate and do all sorts of crazy things just to get whatever it is, like you say, to have time to get what I want, and miss the whole meaning, the significance of life itself. Now, you can't talk people into this. I am talking to you because, Sandy, you wrote me. But to be honest with you, most people cannot hear my message here. because they assume they understand. They're content with the idea of thinking that life is to have fun. Now, I have heard this from celebrities, politicians, ministers, general people in life. What life is all about, life is to have fun. That's it. That shallow little statement defines the entirety of their life. And they don't go any further. They don't go any deeper. That is it. To reduce my life down to Gregory's need for gratification or his desire for gratification, should his life be just nothing but living at Disneyland? Is that the totality of it all? And that's what most people are about, the totality of just living in Disneyland in their brain, in their body. And that's what family things are all about. Oh, look what I produced out of my genitals. And that's as far as it goes. That's the way people are. And they will call that life. If you are content, Sandy, for me, you, excuse me, living your life for the sake of getting what you want, and do you have enough time to get what you want, you have missed already. And there is nothing I could say or do to help you. You need to go out there and do it as birth and death, as many times as is necessary until you find life. And find life as significance, because that's really what it's all about. And no one can tell you what that significance is. And no one can tell you what you should or should not do with your living to get there. You have to figure that out. There are spiritual practices that constitute livingness. And they lead eventually to the gravitas, the importance of life. But I don't think you're cut out for that. And most people aren't. This is not a cut on you. Most people aren't. I'd say 98% of the people I know are not cut out for this. They just wouldn't do it. They live their life out in coffee spoons and dole out love and compassion when they feel like it emotionally. And that's what it is for them. They call it macaroni, and that's their life. But if you are ever really interested in one life or another, you will wake up and realize, I can't keep doing this. Then you will realize the power and the presence and the importance of futility. Thank you, Sandy, for your question. Please forgive me, really. Namaste. People don't like these answers sometimes because they're not the answers they want. They're not the answers they believe in. Here's the next one. This comes from Harold. He does not tell me where he lives. Is my life my living, or is my living my life, as you pointed out in a commentary? Harold. You came into this world specifically from the realm of karma. Everything that touches your life and my life, and even this time we're having right now, you and I, Harold, of sitting here, me sitting in my little studio and you wherever you are, this is karma. Your question does not fall on deaf ears, nor do I listen to it with any sense of frivolousness. This is an important question. And evidently, what I wrote woke you up somewhere inside. I don't even know how you got my commentary, because you're not on our list, but I'm glad it did, and I'm grateful that you read it. That's very humbling. But you're trying to figure it out. And that's the problem with people and students. They're always trying to figure it out. Trying to think through our pedestrian mentality to get to the answer that our pedestrian mentality can accept and understand. If you understand your life, you've missed it. That I can tell you right off the bat. If you understand your living, you're not getting towards life. There has to be inside of any of us who are on the authentic path a sense of futility, that we have lived in futility, that we are prone to futility, that we live seeking, wanting, desiring things we can't understand. When you understand that you don't understand, when you understand that you don't need to understand, when you are deliberate in your efforts to awaken, you will find it will be because you honor silence. You honor the whole idea of solitude and living in that solitude. And to do that, you will live in the depths of simplicity. You meditate only because it awakens you, not because it gives you anything. Really, what meditation does is it takes away many things. It takes away assumption, presumption, obsession, compulsion, cruelty, meanness, mercilessness. And most people hold these very bad attributes, shall we say, of human mind and of human heart, as though they are gold, like they are very special, like they should never be lost. I mean, where would you be without your hatred? Where would you be without your malice? Where would you be without your mercilessness? Where would you be without your judgments of other people, all of us? Why, you couldn't sit on your throne. You couldn't think you were better than. You'd never do that or whatever people like to think. I don't know. But when you look at all of this and you start working upon yourself, you start to see that the things that are truly important are never privy to the human mind. The things that are spiritual are never privy to the human body and mind and emotion. They're not there. The humanness of Gregory cannot see the delight of Siraj, the other side of me. There is a loving part of you, a deep loving part that your human nature cannot detect, cannot see. You could dance it right in front of your nose and you would never see it. You would never comprehend it. It wouldn't be there. But your emotionalism will protect you from love. Your emotionalism will protect you from kindness. Your emotionalism will protect you from silence. So you won't have these things and you will never see the need for forgiveness, compassion, and the depths of an authentic love. Because the ego, who is governed by the emperor of all malice within us, will tell you it doesn't exist and you will believe it. So, is your living your life or your life your living? If you are wise, if you are congruent to compassion and really think about the idea of thinking as obsolete. You can think yourself out of thinking until you're willing to really look at your mind and how it has been used and what it centers around. The things you want, the things you think you love, the things that are important to your ego. Just think of this. How much time has been spent living out the dictates of my ego? Just look at it. How do I know anything is anything based on the way my mind perpetrates lies and alibis and beliefs? Just look at it. You don't have to do anything about it. Just look at it. What are we talking about here? What are we doing? You will see you've missed your entire life and that your living has been nothing but supporting the weakest part of ourselves. The analyzation, the mind, the emotions, the intellect. Now, for a lot of people, and I say this with all due respect, this is enough for them. They don't want anything more, and that's as far as they'll ever go. So with that being said, that is being said here. And I can't change that. I can't influence you for that. Very few people on this earthly plane ever see the value of what it means to authentically transform and transcend. Very few. They don't even think it's possible. They're not interested. It just doesn't work for them. So that's the way they are. That's the way they'll be. And that is the end of it. Macaroni and cheese. That's it. You got to decide for yourself, Harold. Have you had enough? Really? And if you haven't, then you got to just go do what you need to go do until you just can't do it anymore. But life is very gracious and very forgiving. And it will allow you to do whatever you need to do until you just can't do it anymore. Then in that humility, in that meekness, you will be ready. So there you are. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Ron. I don't know where he lives. I really messed up my whole life. I want help, but I don't really want help. What do you do with a person like me, Ron? What do I do? I listen very intently. I watch if there is any inroads that I can travel with you. That's what I would do. Travel into the infinite. Reach you. Is there any inroads to reaching you at all? That's what I would be looking for if we were sitting in session. But for the most part, there probably aren't. By the time a person gets to be around 25 years old or so, they're pretty much done with their life. It's pretty much over. They aren't going to do any more. They're just barely chugging along here, and they're just going to do what they're going to do the way they're going to do it, and that's the end of the story. So I'd be looking for openness. I would be looking for an inroad to reach you beyond the confines of your mind and the stories it's telling you, the narratives it lives in. Living is, for most people, the narrative, just the story. Life, well, that's something totally different. They use that life thing as a conclusion, or it's really a junk closet. Everybody has a junk closet. I have one. And it's a place where you just throw things. You don't know where to put them. You think you're going to need them for later. So you just put it in there, and I'll get it later. At least I'll know where it is, yada, 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 that kind of thing. But that's about as far as people go. And I don't know if that's as far as you're going to go, because I don't know you. I don't know what you mean by messed up your life. I know people who live very straight and have messed up their life. People who think they're very right and have thoroughly messed up their life. So I don't know what you mean by messed up your life. I mean, it may mean that things you did caused reactions that were maybe not what you wanted. And instead of looking at it and thinking you messed up your life, maybe you could look at it and say, it actually was directing your life. It was showing you the meaning and the significance of your life. It was not a mistake. It was a course correction. And it was saying, no, not over there, over here, over here. I've had that many times where I thought, oh, I've blown it. But really not. Because life is very gracious. It is very kind and compassionate with people like us. So, and generous to say the least. So you need to emulate generosity, kindness, compassion, and not be so concerned about the circumstance. I am never concerned about my circumstance. I'm always concerned and watchful, wakeful about the way I live deep inside me. Do I live from love, or do I live from that pleasant confusion that allows me the alibi to live in Greg Penn stupidity? All right, I'm done. Thank you, Ron, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope all this helped. There's so much more. And if you ever have questions, just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. Namaste.